The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
We weren't expecting quite such a comprehensive victory. Well, I don't know if you can call it comprehensive because we scored 5 goals and we're into the League A of the Nations League. So we'll go with that. But Karen, Scarlett, what initial thoughts after last night? Have we come down from the high?
Yeah, I'm delighted we don't have to go through another League B campaign and that we can actually kind of realistically set sights on a World Cup campaign now with the path that's in front of us. And for three quarters of a two-legged tie, we showed more than we had in the whole of the League B campaign up to that point. I think we had really good, strong performances on the team. I think mentality-wise, we looked stronger, we looked more fired up. And I think it boiled down to the fact that we played a system that suited the players we have. We finally acknowledged our limitations, played to our strengths, parked ego a little bit, and just did what we needed to do. So we give Carla a little bit of kudos for that, but especially the girls and kind of the energy that they brought from the outset in the Aviva. I think that set the tone. And the fact that they kept going to the end when at times in the first half yesterday, it felt very ominous, but we turned it around. So not perfect, but something to be positive about. And we haven't had that for a while. So yeah, buzzing this morning.
Yeah, Scarlett, I was thinking this when the two goals went in last night. I was getting a deep, uncomfortable feeling of deja vu. And here we go again, especially at the timing that they came, you know, just coming up to the end of the first half. Always been a dangerous time for us. And we've seen in the past that, particularly when you think back to those Wales playoffs, where we gave ourselves too much work to do in the final 10 minutes. And that would be the time when it felt like we were actually settling into the game, that we were, you know, I suppose, hammering the goal with opportunities. But it felt different last night. It felt like from the start of the second half, they did come out. And yes, it would have been great if we'd managed to convert some of those chances a little bit earlier. But it definitely did feel like a tonal shift compared to what we've seen before.
Yeah, and I think everyone watching when the two goals went in for Belgium, we thought panic stations might set in. You know, we've let go of our lead. It's kind of back to a nil-all game then, and they had the momentum at that time. But then getting into halftime, we've seen in the interviews after the game that they obviously had a great chat and went out sort of all guns blazing. And as we talked about during the podcast last week, is what we wanted to see from the girls was to go direct and, you know, be creative and to go for it. And that's exactly what they did. And I think throughout the two legs, like even the game at the Aviva, probably the best we've seen them play under Carla Ward. And they really showed great character and composure in that second half to stay patient as well as, you know, going for it. We knew just needed the one goal to take back the lead. And I suppose through that patience, and through an Abby Larkin goal, we find ourselves back where we aim to be this whole time. And it's a long way this team has come under Carla since that game against Slovenia. So yeah, very, very happy.
I was on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning with Julianne Russell, and we were kind of talking about where this victory sits in, I suppose, the pantheon of Irish wins. And is this the sort of game that is actually the most important win that we've had since we qualified for the World Cup in terms of morale for the team, in terms of maybe finally putting to bed some of the demons from the Wales game, in the sense that, okay, yes, you had that great match down in Cork against France and it was brilliant to get it, but this was a team a lot closer to us in terms of where we rank in playing football. It was a team that should have beaten us probably in terms of the quality that they have. But over the two legs, we were able to remain consistent. Is that a fair enough assessment, Karen?
Yeah, it is, considering like we're very much still under that Welsh cloud. You know, the expectation was that, you know, we would get better after the World Cup, and after that Wales game, it was very much like no, we've plateaued, we've maybe slipped. And then this League B campaign, it hasn't been comprehensive when we compare it to the previous League B campaign. So it's really important. And I think it's important for the morale of the team, but I think it's even bigger than that. I think in terms of the journey that this team has brought us on, they've been brilliant for promoting the game and stuff. But even with the way the last campaign was going, you could tell the interest was waning a little bit, that the crowd was waning a little bit, support was waning. Now we've got really big blockbuster games to look forward to. And whether we win them or not, it will draw crowds. It will garner excitement. There'll be household names. We'll be talking about, you know, names that we're so familiar with in the WSL and how we challenge ourselves against these kind of teams. And that generates the interest and that generates the hype. And a huge amount of what we love about international football is that it's just the buzz that you get from seeing the best players in the world putting on their jersey. It's nothing to do with money. It's nothing to do with who's playing for what club. It's just about like the passion and the belief. And it's something that as a nation, we long for, we live for it. And if we were going in against Slovakia's again or Bosnia's again, it's hard to generate the hype that we need in order for us to continue to grow the game. And unfortunately, it is that fickle. You know, it is so much of it is based on just how the girls are doing and the interest that they're generating. And it's just so good that we've something to look forward to. League A will be interesting because we won't be expected to win anything. So I was saying this to you before, I think it's actually a good chance to bring more players through potentially. Abby Larkin did brilliantly off the bench last night, but again, we brought on a centre back to play in the six. And then outside of that, we didn't use any other subs when we were chasing a goal. And that's a little bit concerning, but now we've got almost a free run at League A to try and bring players through and to bolster the squad that can win a two-legged playoff to get us to the World Cup against probably teams that might be ranked below us. So I actually, as much as we want to compete with the bigger nation teams, I love the opportunity that this provides the girls as well to play without pressure, and maybe even the management team as well, that, you know, if we have to win all the League B games, otherwise it's a disaster. Whereas we don't have to win all the League A games. So it just provides a unique opportunity for us, I think.
Scarlett, considering that unique opportunity, what would you like to see based on what we've seen from the Carla Ward tenure so far and particularly, I suppose, the two games that we've just played?
Well, I suppose, like as Karen said, we're going to be coming up against bigger opposition, which will draw in big crowds. And I think we need to take advantage of that. And as well as that, we need to be hard to beat against these big teams, because we're always going to play against nations when you're in League A that will be better than us and will have more talented players than us and will have a better structure than us and better funding and all the rest. And it's sort of going back, and I know there was a lot of negative around it at the time, but under Vera Powell, like, we were very, very difficult to break down and beat. And I think we've probably seen us ship a few more goals than we probably would have liked, especially when you talked about last night, like the two goals weren't brilliant to concede, especially at the time that we did. So I think we now sort of have our structure that we can see going forward that will suit the players that we have and will suit the team. I think the big one is Chloe Mustaki coming in and, you know, really putting our hand up for a starting place for the League A campaign and for the camps going forward. And that also allows, as we've seen, Katie getting more forward, and we've seen what that can do in the first leg. So I think that's really important. So now that if we have a solidified back five to go ahead now with the next games in League A, we can become difficult to beat and try not ship any goals, which will be testament to us going forward. And now we know that we can score goals against these big teams, against League A teams. So I think the combination of both those things is really exciting. I thought we had some really good play in the two games and like really good interplay. Even the goal last night, like it was simple stuff. We talked about it, like being direct, simple flick on and then getting the ball in good areas and taking your chance when you get it. And I think if we can combine those two things of having a structured backline, and then obviously being able to get goals when we need them, would be really good to see those two coming together in Liga.
You're a bit sceptical, Scarlett, in the lead up into this international window about that back line and how it should line out. Are you any more solidified in your thoughts on it now?
Yeah, well, I was at the Aviva on Friday and I was for the first while trying to figure it out, because obviously Katie was a lot higher and then Aoife Mannion on the right hand side wasn't getting forward as much. And we had talked about how maybe the wide areas are somewhere that we could exploit them. And I thought they actually would change it at halftime and sort of maybe drop Emily Murphy out right wing and then go with a back four. But to be fair, they stuck with it and it has seemed to work for them in the two legs. So it's not something that I would have expected. Obviously, we were talking about not going out of a back five, but if it does allow the wing backs to be in more forward positions, as we were talking about Aoife Mannion, I'm not sure if she's the right wing back that we need in that area. I think, as Karen said during the podcast last week, I think as a central defender, maybe right hand side, she'd probably be better fit. I know we didn't see Heather Payne at all, which is probably strange, but she's probably just not in Carter Ward's favour at the minute. So yeah, I think that's an area where probably we can look at in future. But as a whole, I thought like the back line will probably take some time to get used to each other. Like Chloe Mustaki coming in, I thought Jess Stapleton played really well over the two legs as well. And then obviously seeing Anna Patton come on in the six was a very sort of different approach to what we've seen. Like we've talked about that midfield area and how we're kind of struggling for numbers there. But it was interesting to have the likes of Tyler Toland and Jamie Finn on the bench and not see them come on and maybe to put Anna Patton in there. I'm not sure if that's something that she's going to look at going forward or not, but that'll be interesting to see as well.
Karen, you mentioned there the lack of substitutes last night and kind of the general time that you would expect people to come on to make a bit of a difference. And it's something we've talked about quite a lot under various different managers about what the timing of substitutions and the impact they had. And obviously last night it was a good substitution. It impacted the game positively. But would you have liked to have seen a few more people get legs on the pitch?
If I'm being honest, no. And the only reason I would have liked to have seen more players come on is because it kind of wasn't fair on Denise, who's returning from injury, to have had to do 90 minutes. Now she would give.
And she was also getting right absolutely leg. Battered by the Belgians. Yeah, I wasn't expecting battered, the physicality from them last night.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was purposeful. And it helped Belgium get into the game. That physicality is something they lacked on the Friday night. So just in terms of that, in terms of knowing that there was girls out there suffering because they hadn't had enough minutes, you would like to have seen it. But in terms of changing the personnel, do I think that would have strengthened their situation? No, especially based off Friday night when I felt like we did lose shape when we changed the midfield a little bit. So again, it's that depth question when you're bringing on a centre-back in the six. Like you say, Scarlett was mentioning like the right wing back position. We have girls on the pitch who are doing a brilliant job, but that's what they're doing. They're doing a job as opposed to it being the answer, the long-term answer, I think. So you're looking at that right wing back position. Like Shiva was amazing in terms of covering ground, but for large parts of the first half yesterday, when the Belgium backline fanned out, that midfield did struggle a little bit to get pressure on. We struggled, and when you have one of your midfielders who's not, you know, as able to cover a huge amount of ground, that becomes a really hard position, that three-man midfield. So we need people in there who are just complete and utter athletes if we're going to stick to this system. But if we're going to get to the next level, we need athletes who have, you know, the game intelligence and stuff that Rusha brings to the game. So we need to strike a balance there. So it's areas that look like they're simple fixes, and because I'm a centre mid, and Scarlett, you'll know, centre mid, centre backs, we have loads of them. I feel like there has to be an answer somewhere, but obviously Carla didn't feel like they were there on the bench this time for the Belgium match. So it's an area that I think has to be addressed. It's just that midfield depth, because God forbid Denise hadn't gotten back for these two games. where would that have actually left us in the grand scheme of things? Like the importance that is placed upon Katie and Denise's shoulders. We talk about it all the time. It's huge. They carry the burden so well. They're amazing leaders. It was also at times it's not going to be fair on them to do that in League A. So we have to find more. And we have to be brave. We have to be brave to make decisions and bring players in and give players chances. And there has to be boots on the ground doing the recruitment and even doing the work. Someone looking at the 19s and doing the work with them. If they feel that there's XYZ areas for improvement, become the coach that those girls need to be. To invest the time that's needed. That's all it is. Because we know that there's loads of areas that we can improve on, but this was a hugely positive performance. We're kind of nitpicking now, looking at areas that we need to improve. But now we have the buzz. Now we're like looking at a World Cup. We're like, yes, it's going to happen. But if we're going to get there, we're going to need a little bit more than what we have, considering we weren't able to spring players from the bench when we were chasing against Belgium in a League B playoff.
Koi Gig wants to go to Brazil, BTW, Carla Wirt, and the rest of the Irish national team. Scarlett, how much credit does Carla Ward deserve for these appointments? These games? Because we do talk a lot about the squad, and I think we've probably cast a bit of doubt over her tenure so far as to what the style of football is, what her best team is, what, you know, I suppose what she brings to the plate. Does she deserve a lot of credit for how the team lined out over these two games, or is this very much something that the squad themselves deserve all the credit for?
Well, yeah, I think that they were set up quite well. They kind of did everything that we had asked them to do on the pod. So, yeah, I think even yesterday when she was speaking, she was very complimentary of the players, saying that, you know, they took on information very well and, you know, they're willing to buy into everything that she sort of asks of them, which is a very positive sign of the relationship, obviously, that the players have with her and the belief that they obviously have in her. So, yeah, I think probably we're a bit sceptical at the start. Obviously, that 4-0 loss to Slovenia didn't help. But I think the place we're in now is a really positive place to be in. And I think it's credit to both her and obviously the backroom staff and then the girls as well, because you've seen like they dug in yesterday when the game got physical and, you know, Belgium were trying to put it up to us physically. Like we stood up to them, which I thought was really, really good to see. And it's a true sort of Irish trait, which was brilliant to see from the girls. And, you know, they're standing up for each other and they have each other's backs. And even see yesterday in celebrations, like that's a team that's together. And I think it's credit to any manager that has a dressing room that's so connected. Obviously, those girls that squad's kind of been together for the last few years, but it's just great to see them now get the plaudits and, you know, back in the public eye. And as we said, like we're going to get bigger games now, bigger crowds. So that's all you want from this team and the way that they can perform on big games and, you know, put the Wales game sort of that's dead now and buried, I'd say, after that Aviva performance on Friday. So yeah. I think credit has to go to both Carla and the team because the performance over two legs I thought was really, really positive, and I think gives us a bit of hope now, as we said, going into League A and qualification for the World Cup.
I'd be like, she deserves credit, but I'd be slow to be like heaping praise on her, because we recognise that these changes should have been made a long time ago, but it took her some time to come to terms with the fact that she has to park her Carla Ward ball in order to get the best out of her team. I think the team always comes first and then you employ your tactics bit by bit, where she went for the big bang, this is how I play, not recognizing our limitations, not recognizing the lack of contact time you have at international football. I think the slow start was a little bit of naivety that I hope she has learned from now, and I hope that these two games have shown her that international football is a different beast, that like the crowds are going to be fickle. Like, you know, we were all very sceptical before. If she hadn't won these games, I don't know if we would have seen her bring this team through League A. So it's mad the way this, how important this result is, both for the team, for her, and it'll be interesting to see now what she brings to the table. Because like I said, I think we were kind of waiting and waiting and waiting a little bit too long. So hopefully now there's the lessons have been learned and everyone's on the same page, because until these games, it didn't seem that way. Even, you know, like the, just hark back to the interviews after those America games, it just, it felt like there was a disconnect. Whereas like Scarlett said, the camaraderie and everything that we saw after the match, that was a big positive to take, and it shouldn't be underestimated, because before that, I did feel like there was a little bit of disconnect. I don't know, maybe it was just the language that we use in those interviews, but I know as a player after that, I would have had my back up. And I'm sure there were some honest words between everyone after that, because there's no way you turn that around without there having been some frank conversations, I don't think.
In typical Irish fashion, we're not going to let ourselves enjoy last night for even 24 hours, and we're going to look straight at Ligue 1 and what's coming down the line. No, obviously, it was a great result, and we'll bask in this until Friday week, whenever the actual draw happens. Last time around when we were in Ligue 1, it was pretty much admitted that we got a bit of a group of death in terms of the level of teams that we had to face. Whenever you're in Ligue 1, you're always going to be up against absolute juggernauts, but I think ours, well, it's a particularly tough run. Would you like to see that sort of level of opponents again, or would it be nice? Karen's like quickly shaking her head. Nope, definitely not. So we'd want someone in there that is maybe a little bit more on our par, so it's not a England-France situation.
Yeah. Ideally, I would like us to get, you know, someone who's more on our par, maybe kind of the lower end of the Scandinavian teams, where we can have that kind of physical battle and see how we got on playing similar styles of football. I'd like us to get two of those types of teams. And then I'd like us to get Spain. And just, we'll take our beating off Spain, but I want to see them in real life.
So I actually knew before you started that you were going to have Spain in there as the team that you wanted to see.
Just because I want to see them. And I had to play against them before, and it was mean. They didn't give us the ball. And I want other people to have to experience that, because it's horrendous. But I just think that inevitably we are going to lose a game. So wouldn't it be good crack to lose to who I see as the best team in the world, but then also use that experience and then have not a France, not an England to look forward to after that, a game where you can actually realistically set some expectations and work on a system that actually can frustrate teams. I think Belgium are similar enough to us, and we saw what Spain did to them in the World Cup. Sometimes a team is just too good for you. But if we could get a team like that and then actually look at how we get on tactically against a team that's not that far ahead of us, and see how we get on there, like, that's always a great challenge. But also I think we're going to have to do mentality shift as well. This Ligue 1 is obviously brilliant. We're back to being the underdog, and that always buoys us. But like yesterday, we were 4-2 up, and then first half, very, very bad. We do have to acknowledge that the first half was terrible. And then we went 2 down, and then we started playing, because all of a sudden we flipped from being favourites to the underdogs, all within the space of 45 minutes. And we looked like a different team in the second half. So there's work to be done there psychology-wise, but I guess we don't have to worry about that until we get to the playoff stage, because we're back to good old fighting Irish. I don't love that in the interview after. Oh, it was the fight that got us through. We actually played some really good football. There's more than that. And we need to not be so reliant on that if we're going to kick on, I guess.
I think Irish sports journalists and fans across a multitude of different codes and sports have been trying to work out how do we perform when we are not the underdog for decades now, Karen. But if we can solve it on the Koi Gig podcast, we will do so, and we will get ourselves to Brazil. Scarlett, final word to yourself. Karen wants to see Spain lighten up the Aviva for, and also they're gonna give us a nice trip as well over to Spain, wouldn't say no to that. Would you agree in terms of the sort of opposition that we should be hoping for in the draw?
Yeah, I think probably to get two of the ranked teams. I'm looking here at like the likes of Poland maybe, and then whatever teams have gone up with us. I don't know how they do it in terms of seeding, but I think we're guaranteed at least one of the big teams. So I would also like to see Spain in the flesh. I think that would be Very, very cool. And to see how we put up, how we put it up against them as well would be interesting. But I don't think anyone would blame a hammer in that game, to be honest. But yeah, I think we can have high hopes going into the draw and hopefully get a standout game and then a few, maybe two games that we can go, right, we can compete here and we can try get some points on the board. So yeah, I think our mindsets have all shifted since this time last week. Positivity is the new word for this team now. So
Well, as I said to you guys after the game on Friday, we were firmly put back in our box in terms of our predictions as to how the thing was going to go, but none of us are all that sad about it. No. Yeah, I think, but even if you look at the way we played in Ligue 1 the last time, you know, we didn't really take any proper beatings. So that's also something positive to take into this. I know we're not expecting to go out and win every game or maybe even have what we did against France down in Cork. But at the same time, there is opportunity there. And once again, this is me speaking with extreme positivity compared to how I was about a week ago. Karen, Scarlett, thank you very, very much. We will be back again because as Katie so rightly pointed out last night on her post-match interview after her 100 caps, the WSL is back once again. So we will be back next week with all the action from across the water. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to Republic of Ireland women's team. Enjoy the win, guys. We will chat to you all next week.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.